At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And Athena makes her Talk is Jericho debut today. She's talking about her journey to AEW, her run with WWE as Ember Moon, and why she almost gave up on wrestling entirely. She talks about training with Skandor Akbar and Booker T, and the biggest lessons she learned from both. She details her multiple WWE tryouts and the circumstances around her finally signing. And then she talks about the events leading to her release from WWE and what her relationships were like with both Vince McMahon and Triple H. She talks about the development of the Athena character in the indies and what's it been like to bring her to AEW. But before we get to Athena, it's not too late to book a cabin on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea. Still a few cabins left at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And believe me, you don't want to miss out on the vacation of a lifetime. Talent on the ship is stacked. Seems like there's three quarters of the AEW lineup on the ship, including the acclaimed Jade Cargill, Swerve Strickland, the Lucha Brothers, Wardlow, Eddie Kingston, the entire Jericho Appreciation Society, Danhausen, the Guns, Luchasaurus, Willow Nightingale, Jack Perry. I mean, you name it, everyone's going to be on there. It's also the only place to see the debut of Jerichohausen. That's right, Chris Jericho and Danhausen team up for the first time and maybe only time to take on the Guns. And then we're going to determine the first ever Oceanic champion as well. Championship belt has been made by Dave Milliken. We're going to talk to him about that. It's killer. We got comedy and music on the ship. Fozzy's doing three shows. Quarantine, Quiet Riot, Raven. I'll be doing live podcasts. Dave Schrader of the Paranormal 60 will be hosting live paranormal experiences and stories. We're going to our own private island at Great Stirrup Cay. So come hang with us. Book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. All right, it's time for Athena right here, right now on Talk is Jericho. All right, so this weekend was huge with a new Ring of Honor Women's Champion, Athena. Had you worked Ring of Honor ever before?
Yeah, oh, okay. I did actually. Gosh, how long ago was that? I actually worked for them for like 3 years.
Really?
With like Mischief, Jenny Rose. Goodness, there were so many women, I can't even think. But I remember it was around the time Mischief got pregnant, and when she got pregnant, they were like, well, there goes our women's division. See you guys later. We're like, what?
They got rid of everybody.
Yeah, I think because there were just like a core four of us that like actually worked consistently. Mm. And the main star was Mischief at that time. And she was awesome.
Who's Mischief?
I don't know what
Did
she's doing
now. She ever
worked
as any other name other than that?
No, okay. No. She was awesome. She was like a master chemist. That was her real job. And I remember that being like, why are you wrestling? That sounds amazing to be a mad scientist.
Right, yeah.
And I think she was trying to discover the cure for the common cold at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
She was like, what are you doing here?
Why are you slumming with us in wrestling? Wow.
But yeah, she had gotten into a relationship, got pregnant, and then they were like, all right, guys, thank you all for your services. We'll call you in a year.
Oh, my gosh. So it was you, Jenny Rose, and...
Mischief. Allie was there.
Gotcha.
Gosh, where did she go? Bunny.
Right.
She's had 30,000 names.
What was your name there?
Athena.
Athena,
yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Right. So is that where you started? It was in Ring of Honor, because it's funny for me, because obviously I know you from Ember Moon days, and then obviously being here in AEW, but I didn't know if you had started in NXT, but I didn't realize the whole
Ring of Honor lineage. I was, before I got to Ring of Honor, I was slumming it in Texas, as we like to say. I was trained by Skandar Akbar originally.
Okay.
I started in like 2006, late 2006, 2007, I don't really remember.
Wow.
And then I started training with Lance Hoyt, or Vance Archer, whatever his name is now, and Monty Brown. Then I went and trained with Booker T for a long period of time. And then I drove to Arkansas and trained with Roddy Mack and Jazz. So I'm kind of like a mutt of like training pedigree.
That's quite a lineage of trainers, though. Tell me a little bit about training with Skandar Akbar. That's pretty old school.
Terrifying?
Yeah.
I remember for like my first month of training, I used to run down Highway 80 in Mesquite. He'd be like, all right, run to mile marker 536 or something like that and get back. And I like looked up and we're at, it was like 3 miles there, 3 miles back. And I run down, run back as fast as I can, try to make it there before the end of training. He's like, if you make it back before training ends, you get to get in the ring.
Oh my gosh.
And at that time I was playing college soccer, so I was like sprinting down there. Never made it back in time. Never made it back.
It's so funny though, like the old school way of training. Like I trained with the Hart brothers and we used to have to run a mile backwards. And I think like what does that accomplish other than maybe they wanted to kind of weed out the pretenders sort of thing?
Yeah, I remember like the first day that I was actually able to get in the ring, and I like I didn't even ask. I'm just at that point of like, I want this. Eventually I'll get in there. I see everyone else in there. And like, I just was like, all right, putting on my running shoes, getting ready. He goes, all right, get in the ring. And I was like, what? It's awesome. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, because I think my first day I came for like kind of the tryout class. Did a couple rolls. They taught me how to run the ropes. They gave me like a body slam or something. And I just remember being like, that hurts so good. I want to do this again. And then like my next month was running down the freeway. And I was like, when do I get to do that?
Right.
When so you get
back, getting in the ring was kind of a sacred experience, right?
Yeah, but like I appreciate it so much more because I feel like I earned the right to get in the ring, if that makes sense. And even then he was just, he was a hard ass. He had that like, what is it, the little horse whip?
Oh my gosh.
And like you'd run the rope, or if you did something wrong, like you just feel it hit your calf and you're just like, oh my God. And then I remember part of our discipline when we weren't working well as a group was like we'd have to hit the turnbuckles, which isn't terrible until it's real rope and it's not taped.
Mm.
And I mean, just we'd just be scratched and bruised all the way from.
You mean like if you took the turnbuckle pad off sort of thing?
The turnbuckle pad was there, but the ropes were so rough from use. So the ropes weren't taped at all.
Gotcha.
And just when you hit, it just scarred all your skin and just be like, we just do the damn drill right, please, you know? And, but I think that's why I'm so disciplined now is because like he took everything very seriously. And like, it's weird because to a point now, like when I see people goofing off in training and stuff, I'm just like, oh, my calf hurts. Like you start like feeling all those old battle wounds and stuff. And it's, but at the same time, I know it's a different time and a different era, and just the way we were trained, I guess, or the way I was trained was completely different from how like I train people, which is weird. I'm like, we're a family. Let's do this together. Yeah. And it's so
it's
180.
Changed, right? And you said this was only 2006, right?
2006, 2007. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, and once again, it's just kind of the way of the world now, but training before was designated to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not maim you or hurt you badly, but it was there to like let you know that wrestling was not a joke.
Yeah.
You know, and like you mentioned for us too, there was a lot, I think 2 weeks of cardio and outside the ring squats was before we were even allowed in the ring. And that was like a huge, the ring is the temple. And that's like that training is gone. You know, you hit somebody hard and we'll discuss this in training or, you know, even in a match, and it's like, it's a bad thing. I mean, well, that's kind of how wrestling was always done.
Yeah. Before, like, like another thing, like I used to train, I was the only girl. So and a buddy of mine, JD Griffey, we started together. So, like, we did the freeway. We did. I remember I couldn't tuck my chin learning how to bump. And Akbar was like, all right, get on the concrete. Like, I learned how to bump on that concrete. Oof. I have a back of steel now. Like, I tucked that chin every single time I was on that concrete, went back in the ring, saw stars.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just that's the way it was. It was taken seriously. And if you couldn't do stuff right in the ring, all right, well, you're going to come out here. You're going to take your punishment. You're going to do it with a smile on your face. Get up, do it again. But like I don't know how to explain it. It was just so motivating. It's like, I got to do better. I got to be better. I constantly have to be better. And that was like instilled in my brain because it's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I played college sports. I know what punishment is. It's like, no, we do not want that. Do it right. And by like, like I said, it was weird because like I was also the only girl, so I couldn't complain. Like the guys would beat the tar out of me. It'd just be black and blue going home. And like, and I was teaching gymnastics at the time too, which sucked because like I'd be so sore and I'd have to make sure like this 8-year-old kid could do a standing full and not die. And I'm like, I don't want to pick you up anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so like it was just weird. It was weird. It was fun, but like I would have it no other way.
Why did you train with so many different coaches in different schools?
I think I just wanted all the knowledge that I could possibly get. Like, I remember, like, I was with Akbar, and he's like, you're not ready, you're not ready. And I was like, well, I'm going to find someone that's going to tell me I'm ready. And then I started training with this guy named Action Jackson for a little bit, who, like, Akbar ran his school, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Action Jackson ran in the same building Tuesday, Thursday. And so I was just there 5 days a week, just doing what I could. And it was just like, okay, cool. And then Akbar had ended up shutting down his school, so I lost that avenue. So I went to Lance Hoyt, found out they were doing a class there, tried out, got on the show called PCW, or Professional Championship Wrestling at that time. And I was like, okay. Then Monty Brown came in. I was like, oh, God. And he's like, well, Booker's down the street. Maybe you should go there. And so I'd do like PCW training class for a while, and then I'd drive like 6 hours down to Houston to train with Booker, like, and hopefully I got back before my parents noticed, because I was still living with them at the time.
Before they noticed?
Yes.
Or you didn't want to tell them you were training for wrestling?
They didn't know I was wrestling for maybe about a year.
Really?
And I remember I'm the worst daughter in the world, because I was trying to figure out a way to tell them, and I knew just like they were like school, and I was in college, I was a straight A student. But like I wanted to wrestle, and I remember just sitting there. My mom had gotten like really sick and had to have a surgery. I remember someone, I don't know if I saw this on TV or someone told me, they were like, all right, you have a moment right before she goes under that you can tell them. And then there's a chance that they'll remember or not remember. And I remember being like, Mom, I don't know if you're going to pull it through this, but I just had to tell you I'm a pro wrestler. And she goes, what? And that's how I told my mom.
So she woke up, did she remember?
She did. Oh. She's like, what do you mean? You didn't know if I was going to make it. That was the only thing she said. She's like, I guess the joke was on me, because she was like, I know you've been wrestling. Like, we've known for a while. Gotcha. Like, and I'm like, why didn't you say anything? We knew you'd tell us when you were ready to tell us. Because it was also one of those fears of like, I don't want to try this and fail. And then they were right. I should have stayed. I should have done this. So it was like this deep, dark secret of mine that wasn't even, I guess, that deep and dark.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
So what was it like training with Booker, for example? Because that's obviously more of a modern guy, but he's still very straightforward.
It was really cool because, like, I was taught very old school. Like, Akbar was all about, like, big hits, like, clotheslines, body slams, just making everything have that intensity. And then I started training with Lance and Monty Brown, and they taught me how to be a big man. But I'm 5'1", you know? So,
yeah,
like, that didn't really transfer when I got to work. The actual girls, they're, like, 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot. And I'm like, why do this power slam? They're like, No, you're not, kid. And so it was like, okay, well, I need to find someone that can help me fix this. And I got to Booker's, and Booker kind of opened my eyes to like high flying and aerial, and being kind of not so much an aerialist, but just having diversity within my moveset. Like, I was desperately, I still am, I'm afraid of heights.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because you're on the top rope all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's muscle memory now, but I remember, like, I was doing the O-face off the second rope, and I had been doing it for years, and it just was murdering my body on the second rope, which is so sore. Yeah. I'm an adult. And I'd been doing it off the second rope, and it just hurt my body because of how quick you have to turn doing it off the second. Booker's like, go up to the top. And I go, what? I'm like, no, sir, not for me. Someone's going to push me. I'm going to fall down. He's like, so what? You'll get up and do it again. And I was like, what? No. And he was like, all right, fine. Give the move to me. And that's the end of it. You'll be safe. You know, so I give it to Booker. Booker takes it. And he's like, all right, now you're doing it off the top rope in this ring, which was like the really cool thing about Booker's at that time was is he had a ring with short ropes. And then the step that would have a little bit taller and a little bit taller. So eventually you work your way up to a regulation WWE ring at that time, or what we use currently. And it was like, okay, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. And that's kind of how I got the O face to the top rope. And I figure like, man, I have all this time to turn now. And it was scary. It was terrifying for the first few times. But like, he kept pushing me to do things that I was uncomfortable doing, which I like immensely thankful for that. He taught me how to wrestle my size as well, as far as like doing the head scissors and Rana's and making sure that I could protect myself in that aspect, but also the psychology and the storytelling, which is not something you really get on the indies. It's normally start small and big, like,
right.
And now everything had to make sense, which was kind of like this weird puzzle for me that I just was like, you know, see all the numbers, E equals MC squared, like popping up in my brain. And it became like really interesting. And that's kind of where I realized like wrestling, I'm never going to know everything, but I'm going to try to learn as much as I can. So Booker had brought in Rodney Mack and Jazz, ended up talking to them. They're like, why don't you drive down to Arkansas? And I'm like, okay, I live in Texas. Texas is massive, but at 19, 20, Texas isn't that big, right? So, like, from Texas to the Arkansas border, it's like a couple hours from where I used to live. They were like 9 hours into Arkansas. And I'm like, oh. And at that time, we had MapQuest. We didn't have Google Maps. Turn MapQuest. Left here. There's nothing there.
Right, right. Is that where you print out the... Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Go, like, and you're trying to figure out how to use a map.
A map, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like... Finally found their school, went down there like maybe like once or twice a month, or I'd stay a couple of days down there and train with them. And just like, I just wanted to learn. That's it. Like,
well, that must have been cool because Jazz is no nonsense. She's tough as nails too. But yeah. This is the first time where one of your trainers is a woman, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it was at that time she had just gotten pregnant with the twins as well, because I was supposed to have a match with her. I ended up having to wrestle with Rodney Mack.
Nice.
5'1" little me, shredded from college soccer, maybe 115 pounds, yeah. Soaking wet, wrestling like just 280, just hulking. Jacked out of his mind, yeah. Rodney Mack, and like his student who was the same size as me. But I just remember like he hit me with a clothesline, and I was just like, oh my God. And I got up, and he's like, I didn't think you were getting up for that. That's all I hear. I didn't think you were getting up for that. I was like, what? Why are you hitting me this hard? You know? But like, it made me tough. And then like, so they had gotten some connections with a buddy of mine who doesn't work anymore. He had taken me all through Tennessee to meet the Nightmares, trained with them. And then we did NWA up there. Then I got to wrestle at OVW with Danny and Al Snow. And it just became this, I want to learn everything. I want to know everything I possibly can. And so I ended up just driving around the country, just working my way in driving, which is very stressful in the moment of just like, I remember taking a whole Christmas break, which was like 3 weeks to just, I'm going to go to a different state, work my way, get like $40, put some gas in the car, go to the next town. And that's what I did for like 3 weeks and barely made it back before the semester started because I ran out of money in Arkansas.
So you're basically just like doing a show, which gives you enough gas money to go to the next show.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran away in Arkansas, and what happened?
Well, that was fun because I wasn't close enough to Rodney Mack and Jazz's, and I ended up having to be the person at the gas station where I was like, hey!
Oh, my gosh.
But it works, I guess, better because at that time, I was like this 20-something-year-old girl, like looking like I looked like I was 14 at the time, and I was like, please, sir, can we have some coin? Could you just fill me up so I can get to my parents in Garland? You know, like, just doing the whole sad stuff.
Have some Christmas pudding.
Yeah, and I was like, look, I genuinely need gas. And, like, some nice family, they actually just filled up my tank for me. I was like, thank you so much.
Oh, that's great.
Got in the car and got back home. And then I was like, hey, Dad, can I borrow, like, $100 to get back to college? And he was like, what do you need $100 for? I was like, So I quit my job to go wrestle for 3 weeks. He's like, are you still in school? I'm like, I'm trying to get back to school, Dad. Yeah. I'll pick up my job when I get back, you know. And so he gave me the money, made it all the way back to Arlington, actually, where I was going to school at UTA. So it was just like,
that's amazing. Like, that's a lot of sacrifice there. Even begging for spare change at the gas station.
Yes, ain't too proud to beg.
No, that's true. But man, that level of commitment is huge.
Yeah, I just loved it. I fell in love. Like, I mean, from the very first bump, it just felt right. And I didn't want to go through life like just regretting my choices or like hating my job, because like I went to college for a long time. And I just remember switching my major every couple months because, like, this doesn't feel right. Or I like this thing, but I hate this. Yeah. And it just, nothing felt right. And then, like, pro wrestling came into my life. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm meant to do. It was one of those weird just experiences where I was like, this is what I want to do. It's constantly changing. It's not the same job every day. Right. Like, I love this. And that's kind of just how it flourished into what it is now.
So you mentioned that you were from Arlington.
So I'm actually from here, Garland.
Oh, from Garland, okay.
A terrible town. Love you guys. Terrible town. You tried to build it up. Thank you, but still terrible. But yeah, I'm actually born and raised Garland. And then when I went to school, I wanted to play college soccer. And I got scholarships, but it didn't cover anything. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to community college, ended up playing college soccer for NCAA because there weren't enough schools in that division. And then came to UTA to do kinesiology and sports medicine.
But you do have a connection to Arlington.
Yes.
So when you won the title in Arlington, that must have been
huge. I lived
huge.
Across the street.
Okay, so tell us how cool
weird.
That was.
Well, so when I was at UTA, that stadium wasn't there. Mm. I lived in Arlington Hall, which was literally across the street, which was very bizarre because even though I lived in Arlington for so long, it was just weird seeing the same environment. And I don't know. It was like I got so many parking tickets in that damn lot where that stadium used to be. Right. And I was like, well, I guess I'll never have to pay those. Moo-hoo, ha-ha. But like I said, I lived in Arlington Hall on the second floor. And my window looked at that lot. So it's like I was driving by and I was like, crap, there's a secret door for when curfew hit right there. Come this way. There's a lunch hall with the 24-hour Chick-fil-A, you know. And then, like, I'm just right across the street, and I'm just, like, I just kind of stood outside, and it's just, like, this is the most bizarre thing, because, like, I dropped out of school there to become a wrestler. Right. And it was just, like, this is very full circle in one of those weird, like, outer body experiences where you're just, like, you from the heavens looking down. You're, like, this is what you could have been, but you did this.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was really cool, and it's just, like, man, like, to come back after what, like 10, 15 years. Very, very weird. Very
did
weird.
Did you have your family there watching?
I did. My parents were there.
That's cool.
It's a weird situation because my parents didn't really support the wrestling career until I got to WWE.
Because then you finally made it, right?
You made it. TV this stuff is paying the bills now? Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Right.
I'll be there every show, you know? Mm-hmm. And my parents have always been supportive, but they're just, I think they were hard on me because they wanted me to succeed.
Yeah.
And they're like, school's the way to do that. You know, my dad went to college. He has a crazy good job being a metrologist or calibrating equipment. Yeah. Oh, wow. Big words.
Yeah.
Calibrating equipment. My mom is a respiratory therapist where she's managed complete hospitals and stuff like that. So like they're both extremely successful in their professions. And when I'm like, I want to be a pro wrestler, and they go to the first show in Marshall, Texas, and they're like
12 people or something. Yeah.
20 people in the crowd. And they're like, what is this going to pay for? Yeah. You know? So I get it. You know, I ended up getting kicked out and I learned to survive on my own.
Oh, your parents kicked you out?
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of, there's another sacrifice there for the rest.
Yeah. So right around when I dropped out of college. So I dropped out of college because I had a WWE tryout. I think it was like the first one at FCW, and I'd used my tuition money to pay for the way to get there. So I went to FCW, and they were like, all right, you're great. And I remember, like, Norman said the most eerie thing to me at the time, and he goes, I just want you to know, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. But you did great, though. And I'm like, what was that? So, like, I'm waiting and just kind of delaying my second or third year at UTA, and I'm just kind of just like, all right, where's that phone call? They said I was good. And then nothing really happened. I remember getting like this form that said, doesn't have the diva look, you know, work on that. You know,
that's what they said. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the diva look.
They have this whole pamphlet like on the coach, like what you did well, what you didn't do well, you need to work
really?
On. I wish I still had it, because it was just this little packet. It was thick, and they gave you a DVD with you training, with your matches and stuff. It was a really cool packet that I wish they still did. And so, the main critique was, doesn't have diva look. And then it had some suggestions like maybe get hair extensions, maybe get new gear, maybe get this.
What year was this?
2008.
Okay, so you're just talking about the diva look at the time. It was still kind of the bikini model.
They were type this thing. This was like when they were doing that weird version of NXT with the obstacle courses and singing contests.
The reality show.
Yeah, and it was like, okay, I'm gonna go do it. And I remember I had made friends with Natty. Mm-hmm. She was at my tryout, and she's like, I'm gonna help you out, girl. I'm gonna help you.
Well, Natty kind of has the same build as you too, like.
I think she's far more jacked, like in a good way, but like she was like, girl, we're gonna get you. And she hooked me up with the gear lady, she hooked me up with a hair extension, she told me everything I needed to do, how to do it on a budget. And like, I'm always eternally grateful for that, because that's she didn't have to do that.
Right.
You know, she had already been signed, you know, she's Natty Neidhart. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to do any of that, and it meant so much to me. And even when I saw her like years later, she was like, Athena? And I was like, no way. It's been 5 years since I've seen. Oh my God. You look great. You did every. And she has that memory that's so good.
Yeah.
And it was just like, man, she's just genuinely good person. You love, like, I don't know. They say don't meet your heroes, but like that meant the world to me at the time, because she was the first person that I kind of idolized for being different. And she was willing to help me when she didn't have to.
Right.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
So once you had the diva look, then did you try again, or kind of how did you end up getting to WWE finally?
I was in the system, as they like to say. So I had the tryout with FCW. Then like 6-7 months later, they called me backstage for a private tryout. And I remember it was me and Lance Hoyt, because we were in Dallas at the time.
Lance again, yeah.
And they were like, hey, we're going to have you roll around with some of the divas. And I remember it was Alicia Fox. Natty was so busy. I think that's when they were doing the Santino angle with Beth at the time. And she's like, oh, if I can, I'll be there, I promise, but you'll be fine. So, you know, Rosa Mendez came in, and Alicia Fox and Natty, and everyone was like, man, she's great. She's this, you know. And I remember just being told, like, I don't know if you can, I just don't know if we should sign you or tell you to lose some more weight. That was kind of what it came down to. And I was like, sir, I can lose the weight. Just sign me. You know, I'm this young kid just eager to get what I can do, whatever I need to do, sir. You know, and so they were like, all right, this is what we're going to do, because we're a little packed at FCW. And I'm cliff noting a bit of this. But yeah, like, basically, long story short, call me when you lose the weight. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll lose the weight. Like, yes, all right, we got this. We hit that number. But it wasn't in a healthy way, because it was just like, I wanted it so bad.
Just like fasting, or just like,
I had a cup of strawberries in the morning. I would run 3 miles, and then I would have a cup of strawberries at night. That was kind of the only thing ingesting. Yeah, so I
must have been dying.
Yes, I was. And yeah. I remember my first night at FCW, they took a whole bunch of us, went to Outback. So a whole bunch of my friends got signed from that first tryout we all went to. And so they're like, let's go and celebrate. You're going to nail this. And I remember going to Outback Steakhouse having like solid food other than strawberries. And I bloated so much.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm not going. I'm like, and they're like, you're fine. You're fine. Right. You look great. I'm like, I just,
because when you're dieting too, like if you gain 1 pound or 2 pounds, it's like, no.
It's the end of the world, right? Yeah. And at that time, like, I feel like the hiring process to get into WWE, especially as a woman, was so extremely strict and hard. If you're 1 pound over that scale, like, which did happen the next day, I was 1 pound over. They were like, all right, Thicker Sin over here. Okay. You know, and so I had the tryout, and it was me and Nigel McGuinness at this tryout before he retired. And he was like, oh, it's great to see you, you know, because I hadn't seen him since Ring of Honor. And so, you know, and everyone's like, you're going to nail this. You got this, Tom Pritchard. You got it this time. Norm's like, you look great. We got it. You know, and I did a promo and Dusty was there at the time. He's like, it's great. Can't, no critiques. And I'm like, damn. Oh my God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this the next week.
Oh my gosh.
The next week. There's a lovely young lady who we all know and love. And she is a sister from another mister. She came for a tryout. And she could dunk a basketball and dance. I cannot dance.
Naomi?
And they sign her. They're like, well, if you want the spot, you can have it. Bam, she got signed. I get this phone call. We just kind of found someone else that fit what we were looking for a little better. You know,
no.
Keep trying. And just at that time, I was like, I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've dropped my life for like 3 years at this time to do everything that you guys have told me to do. You know what? F- you guys, I'm out. And so I was like, I'm going to make it to where you're going to want me and I'm not going to have to come knocking at your door for the opportunity. So my next like 7 years on the indies, I just went and made a name for myself. I wrestled at Ring of Honor. I had a couple Impact tryouts that never really got anywhere because management always shifted for some reason. But like I went and just, I wrestled for Shimmer and WSU, went to Canada for Femme Fatale and just kind of made a name for myself in women's wrestling on the indies of being the American Joshi is what they used to call me. And just going around, just making sure, no, you're not going to go get popcorn. You're going to watch this damn match, you know, where I just do the craziest thing possible. So people be like, what was that? What was that? You know? And it became like what I got known for. And fast forward those 7 years, I end up running into Saraya at Universal. And she's like, oh my God, how have you been? All this stuff. And I was like, I'm great. I'm great. I'm just here doing Shine Wrestling, you know? And she goes, you need a tryout again. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need it.
Now you feel like jilted, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not something I thought about. And, you know, I was very happy. I had a good government job at the time. Like I was ready to like conform to society almost too. Cause it was like 10 years.
Wrestling was a great side project.
Yeah. It was a great side project. I had wrestled who I wanted to wrestle. I had done the gimmick matches I wanted to do. And I was like, all right, I'm happy. Like bowing out here.
Right.
And going on and conforming to real life. And she was like, no. And she had actually just had that match with Emma on that takeover. And I was like, that was so good.
Great match, yeah.
So good. That's what really started the women's evolution right there. I'll say it up and down. But like,
I think you're kind of right on that, yeah?
Yeah, like it just like people didn't know that women could go out there and wrestle. And like now you have them on a pay-per-view platform. And it's like, holy crap. They just went for almost 20 minutes and they killed it. They had a great freaking match. And I don't think anyone really saw anything like that. I know I can make this between like Trish and Mickey. That was a really good match too, built up with a lot of really good story, but like we hadn't seen that in so long. Hell, we could even go back to the Jumping Bomb Angels versus the Glamour
good
Girls,
call.
You know, like
we went through the whole desert of the bra and panty matches and all that
yes,
sort of stuff.
The gravy bowl, if you will.
Yeah. So it took a while for people to kind of accept divas aren't doing this anymore. They're actually wrestling matches. So there was a transition period, right?
Yeah, there was this weird transition period of like where at NXT at the time, like we had all of these women wrestling. And then on Raw and SmackDown, they had the Bellas who are actually really good. If you give them time to be good, you know, wrestling Alicia Fox and Rosa Mendez in a 30-second match.
Yeah.
And that's why Give Divas a Chance got over, because there was this going on.
Interesting, yeah.
And this going on.
Right.
And they were on two opposite ends of the spectrum. And I just remember she told me that, and I just was like, I don't know, man. I'm not what they're looking for. And she goes, no, you're what they need. And I go, I'll think on it. She's like, take my number, let me know. And I was like, all right. So I go home and I'm with my buddy Sue Young. And she's like, dude, you should fucking do it. You're so good, dude. Do it. I'm like, no, shut up, Vanna.
Now, deep down inside, are you worried that you're going to get rejected again?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly course, it. Right? Because like, I'm ready to like lay the boots in the ring, walk away at this point in time. And I would have been perfectly happy doing it at that time. And it was just like, I don't know, man. So I go home and I talk to my husband, and he was like, what do you want to do? He's like, you've done all of this. You've been through a lot of stuff. What do you want to do? And I go, I don't know. I don't know anymore. Because like, here I was seeing the door on the way out, ready to shut it, lock it up, and be like, oh, all right, let's, you know, go do whatever. And now I have all these people with like chains, like, no, come on back. Come on back. We're not ready for you to go yet, you know? And it just became, I gave it like a couple of days. He's like, I fully support you, whatever you want to do, which was like all I really needed. He's like, if you want to go and try to get to WWE, let's get you a personal trainer. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do it the right way.
Is your husband in the business?
Yes.
Okay.
He's actually here tonight. Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like, let's do it the right way. Because he's like, the wrestling, you don't have to worry about. It's all the other stuff that's what they've always complained about, you know? So it's like, So I give it like a couple days and I like go and we sit down for dinner. I go, I think I'm going to do it. He goes, okay, I already had the numbers ready. Like, he started whipping out stuff. Like, he already knew what I was going to do. You know, he's like, all right, here's the trainer. Here's this. Here's your meal prep. Here's this. And I was like, all right, let's go. And just kind of, it was a weird, like, 2 months because, like, I remember they were coming to Dallas, like, in, like, a month. And then 2 months from then, they were coming back to, like, Austin or something. So I was going to try to get on the one 3 months out. So I fill out the paperwork, and as soon as I hit send, 10 minutes later, I had a phone call. Hey, is this Athena? Yeah, we want to invite you for Dallas here in, like, two, three weeks. Can you do it? And I was like, oh, okay. Mm. That's weird. Oh, yeah, sure, man. I'll be there. So I go and do, like, the Rosebud thing. And
what's that guy's name? Adam.
Adam Rose. I go and do the Rosebud thing, and Sarah Amato's backstage, and she goes, oh my god, we used to wrestle with each other. Sure. Oh my god, I'm so happy. See, you look great, you know. And Soraya's like, oh, Athena's here. Hey guys, Athena's here, you know. And she's like my biggest supporter backstage at the time. Natty's there, like, yes, you're here again. How are you? You know? And so it was like really weird because it's like, I didn't know I made that big of an impression on people at
that much
time.
Of a reputation.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, I've just been doing the stuff out there for a little bit. I didn't know anyone knew me here. And like, Naomi walks up to me and she's like, hey, sis, I've seen all your DVDs. You're so great. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is really weird right now. Also, I've hated you for a very long time and you're so nice. This is, and now we talk almost every day, which is crazy. And it's so bizarre. And so like, I'm like, okay, cool. Just nothing's going to come of this. You're going to do this, go home. So I have a tryout match the next day with a girl that's only been wrestling for like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah. Oh, my goodness.
She's like, I can bump and I can do a clothesline. And I was like,
All right.
Well, we're going to work around that. So we go, we have a match. I think it's just absolutely terrible. And someone from the office comes by and they go, hey, we want to introduce you to, who was it at the time? Canyon. We want to introduce you to Canyon. We need all your available dates for the next 2 months to do extra work. And I'm like, I have a real job now. I can't just like stop waiting tables and come. And so I'm like, okay. So I tell my job and they're like, this is great. And I'm like, you guys have never been this nice to me ever, ever. And so they're like, whatever time you need, we want to help you succeed. And I was like, I hate all of you so much.
I'm trying so hard to get out of this, don't you know?
Yeah. And they're like, weirdly super supportive. I need a day off because I'm sick. Can't do that.
Right.
But hey, you want to go wrestle on TV? Yes, go right ahead. Let's put the banner for the like mascot all up. So they give me as much time as I need off, which is, it's like, all right, fine. So I give them all my dates and then they go, hey, Canyon says, just come down to a tryout next week. Can you do that? And I'm like, next week? And I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've only had a month to do all this dieting stuff. And I'm like doing like a bodybuilder shred right now. And I'm like, like a week? And they're, oh no, sorry. 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. All right, cool. So I get there. I do the tryout the first day. I get pulled aside. They go, hey, don't get hurt. The rest tryout. We're going to sign you. And I was like, no. So we get to the very last day and they put us, me in this one group. And I feel like Matt Riddle was in this group. There were a whole bunch of people. Kyle O'Reilly's in this group. And like, we're just like, I'm like, this is... All right. Well, it's all of us indie people over here in this one group. This is weird.
Right.
And then, so Kane is going, and so he comes over. And like, the one thing I hated so much about WWE is they just always had a camera in your face backstage.
Oh.
And so, especially when like things are so real. Like, and so I'm sitting here, my anxiety's through the roof. And Kane comes over, he goes, all right, we're going to sign all of you. And like, all of them have known me for so long at that time. They all turn to me and I have a snot bubble popping. I have tears running down my face and I just kind of just lose it right there. And I like, my knees give out like, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get set. And that's all I could say for like an hour.
Right.
And like, it was really cool. So sign the paperwork, do all that. And we all go out and have drinks after. It was like this really cool, magical moment where it's like, yeah, I made them want me, sort of, not really. But yeah, we got here, you know? And it was really cool. Like, I don't regret any of it, to be honest with you. It's awesome.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So after all those years, you finally get signed, and obviously... then the new stage begins where you become Ember Moon.
Yes.
Where did this name come from in this whole character? Because there's a lot of different makeups and contacts and all this sort of thing.
So when I look at like the rosters and stuff like that at that time at NXT, I was like, what can I do to stand out? What can I do to be different? And so I kept pitching, like, I was doing a Game of Thrones gimmick on the indies toward the end. And I had like banners and like some minion come out out, and I had a sword. Yeah. And I was like, I want to do that here. And they were like, that'll never get over here. You can never do that. So it turned into like, okay, well, let's do something a little bit darker. There's never been a supernatural woman at that time in WWE. Like, yeah, kind of Luna at that time.
That was such a long time.
Yeah. But like, it was kind of Luna. Like, she was just like a weird, cool mohawked vampire lady at the time, you know? So we didn't really know. I was like, there's never really been a supernatural woman. Let's kind of go that avenue, see what happens. And so they're like, vampire. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. They're like, no, werewolf. Yes. And I go, all right, cool. It's just like, witch. It's like, all right, cool, whatever we want to do. So they kind of like, we were kind of forming this weird like idea. And then the head writer at the time was like, no to all of this. This is terrible. So I was like, all right, cool. So I'd done like a couple of PC shows where I guess Hunter watched. And like, so it was like, I was doing the War Goddess vibe and all that stuff. And then they're like, this is never getting over. No one wants to write for this. So I started doing I called it the anti-Bailey character, where in front of all the cameras, it's like, oh my God, I'm just so happy to be here. Oh my gosh, little Timmy, so happy to see you. As soon as the camera turns off, screw you, little Timmy, no one likes you. And so that's what I had started doing. And so we were trying to figure out ways to do that in matches. And like, I mean, everyone's like, this is gold, this is money, this is what we need to be. And then the vignettes start playing. I have no clue the first vignette is me. So I get a text from like someone at work and they go, did you watch the NXT tonight? And I go, oh yeah, who's that cool, creepy mask person? And they go, are you f-ing with me right now? And I was like, what? No, who is it? And they're like, it's you. And I go, no, that's not. And so
you had no idea.
I had no idea because they don't show anything
right,
in the silhouette.
Right,
and I was
right,
like,
right.
And I literally contact Sarah Amato and I go, do I need to change everything I've been doing? She goes, I think so. You know, so then the second vignette comes out and they only show the eyes or something like that. And they turn the eyes red. And I go, ooh, I used to wear contacts on the indies. And they're like, I think they're going to try to make this some sort of supernatural entity. So I was like, crap, let me just have red eyes then. So I go through and I get some contacts overnight. They don't get there till the day that I leave to go to take over. And I just remember thinking, okay. And they're like, well, let's pitch them. So the original eyes I were going to wear tore. I bought two pairs. So I bought a dark pair and a light pair. Like, I mean, super vibrant.
Right, right, right.
Which is what made it to TV.
Oh, okay.
And so they were like, man, this is crazy. She has crazy red eyes. What is she? And then, like, I remember that was it. They were like, who knows what she is? Mm-hmm. It's a mystery to all. And, like, right. I was like, oh, I kind of like the what is she? Who knows? Wait and find out. And then 5-6 years passed, and we still didn't know what it was. So I was like, yeah, it's time for a change. But, yeah, like, I just remember thinking, like, okay. Because I technically didn't know what it was. It was like, it can be this, it can be this, it can be this. We always need a film outside. There needs to be a full moon in the background. And I was like, all right, this is awesome. It's different. So I got, like, really into my inner CW goth.
Right.
At the time.
CW.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, no, we always need to have some sort of weird background that right, isn't inside. Right. And it kind of started working, but it never got past the what is it part, which is weird because the wrestling always did the talking for me. So sure. It was like, all right, trying to figure out what the entertainment part of that was quite difficult because everyone was like, this person's like vampire, werewolf. You need to be stoic. You need to be happy. And there were too many cooks in the kitchen for the gimmick, I think. So when I got to main roster, it was like, okay, what is it? I go, they told me it's a mystery. They were like, well, we need to find this. This can't just be a mystery anymore because the wrestling stuff's over. We need to, what is it?
Character has to match the wrestling, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it became like, I don't know. And they were like, well, we don't know. You need to tell us. So I remember like going to multiple dinners with different writers and stuff like that and just trying to put a pinpoint on it. Or like I like to say the invisible dartboard that you just throw stuff and see what sticks hope that Vince likes it, you know? And like nothing ever really stuck. And then it was like, we need to take away the contacts. We need to take away this. We need to make you play video games. We see you on up, up, down, down all the time. Why don't we play video games and do this? And I'm like, all right. Like I feel like I've always been that person that my real life needs to be separated from my wrestling.
And plus, everybody plays video games. Mm-hmm. There's no wrestling werewolves.
Well, I was a girl that played video games on TV. That's crazy. So it was like this weird disconnect between me and the character and then like what the writers wanted. Because I think the writers just wanted to humanize the Ember character so people could relate to it. And I understand that because not everyone can relate to being a vampire werewolf witch person. You know, like no one really knows how to relate to that other than what they see in horror movies. So I was like, all right, cool. So I remember it was me, Mandy and Sonya. We were doing this whole like bullying angle, which was also weird because people didn't buy me getting bullied at the same time.
Right.
Because it's just weird. I think the character was so oddly dominant. Mm-hmm. Not saying I couldn't. It's just like if it was a Nia Jax.
Yeah, it was what you were portraying.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they were like, we can tell the story because you're doing be a star all the time. You're doing this. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I remember it comes down to us tearing up magazines for like 3 weeks on TV, which is fine because Mandy's gorgeous. She had the muscle and fitness, and they kept, you're going to tear up more magazines. You're going to throw the magazines down the hall this week. And I was like, how many of these magazines do we have? Jesus. And I remember going, can I just break a Nintendo on TV? What is a Nintendo? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, you can go up to Target. I said, it's about $199. Go get a Switch. I'll load my profile on there. I'll play Donkey Kong Country. Have them come up. We'll break the Switch. People go apeshit because they were so hard to get at the
right,
time.
Right, right, right.
And so they break the Switch. Internet goes, how do you know how hard it is to get one of those?
Get a Switch,
yeah. And so it goes into an uproar, and then they're like, we got something with this nerd thing. But they didn't continue it. Mm. It just became, they broke my Switch, and then they wanted me to come back. I will never forget this. They wanted me to come back the next week with a broken Switch. Like, I don't have insurance on this SOB, and that I wouldn't have gotten it replaced. They're like, bring the broken Switch so we can see the damage. And I'm like,
it's not going to really translate well.
Am I four? But it was cool. Like, we got through it. And, like, I remember, like, the donut thing. The donut thing was supposed to be a lot cooler because Mandy and Sonya.
What was the donut thing?
So, Mandy and Sonya have a donut company.
Yeah.
And at that time, they were just now starting it out. They were going to different donut shops around the country, filming stuff. Really cool. So, they were like, we're going to have them throw donuts and, like, milk or something on.
On Ember.
And I'm like, that is bullying.
Yeah.
That will work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then it turned into me pie facing Mandy with
donuts
backstage. And that was the end of it, you know? So it was a lot of really cool ideas. Just what got translated to TV didn't quite correlate.
Very kind of hodgepodge between different ideas and characters and thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, it's not bad. I don't hate any of it. It's just like, I wish we would have got all the original stuff. Because I think that would have been really cool. Vampire, werewolf, whatever, you know, going into, it was what it was. I don't hate it. I'm very neutral to it almost.
When you were on the main roster, did you have any interactions with Vince about character or anything like that?
I did. I had a couple meetings with him because, like, I remember there was a time period where I just couldn't get any ideas to anybody. You know, my writer changed every week, and then the draft happened, which no one knows that they were drafting writers to at that time. So we were like, I was like, oh, this lady I've been working with for almost 8 months is now on this brand.
Right.
And I'm over here and I'm trying to figure it all out. So I actually had like a meeting with Vince and it went well. It was like, we came up with an idea to do like an anger management thing. And then I tore my Achilles right after that.
Oh my gosh.
And they, ended up doing something similar with Tamina, which is really cool because everybody loves Tamina.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay. But like, after all that time of like, he's so busy that it was really hard to get into his office.
With
and
him, yeah.
Because I was like on the undercard almost at that time, it was like, I remember the first thing he was like, I hear you want character development. What ideas do you have? And I was like, and I really was like, sorry, hold on one second. I went and pulled out every character pitch that I've given to all these multiple writers. And I go, here are all the ideas that I've been pitching. You're telling me the only thing you've heard is that I wanted character development?
Yeah.
Here it is, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and he's like, wow. Like, he was like really shocked. He was like, what? He goes, what can we do? What can we do? Because some of the ideas were used for other people. You know, nature of the business. I get it. And, like I said, we came up with this anger management thing. Like 2 weeks later, I tear my Achilles, and I'm just like, oh my God.
That's just a tough injury, too.
Yeah, so like it was really cool because at that time, Bischoff had kind of taken over creative, and I had a talk with him about it. We had a lot of ideas because Vince was like, hey, talk to Bischoff. Bischoff will get you squared away. Me and Bischoff come up with like all these cool ideas and stuff, tear my Achilles. He's the first person that actually like goes, hey, very bad timing, but he goes, hey, why don't we, he had this really cool idea of while I was out that I would just be the disgruntled injured employee. So he goes, I'm going to send a company-wide email, tell everyone not to talk about your injury because we have this really cool idea to create your Twitter account that's verified, WWE verified. And you would just troll the entire show from the internet.
Oh, nice.
And eventually we would reveal that it's you. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it leaks that I got hurt. Like right after that email got out. And I was like,
can't catch a break.
And I was like, man, I'm just going to sit at home.
I'm over here now.
I'm just going to sit out. And then I had the really cool opportunity to do WWE backstage. Which kind of made me fall in love with watching wrestling again because I had to watch so much.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was watching WWE, like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK,
main event, superstar,
everything,
smash challenge, because I would go into work, someone asked me one minuscule question about something that they knew only I would have watched, and it was like, I can give my opinion on this. You know, it was really cool times. It's like, it was me, Renee, Booker, Mark, and sometimes Punk, and it was just, it was really fun, and it made me like fall in love with like wrestling on a different level and be able to enjoy it as a fan, because when you get injured, wrestling ain't fun to watch.
That's right, yeah.
It's just like, I could do that better.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Yeah. You know, you become like just so angry, and like it gave me an avenue to fall in love with it. And I genuinely feel like a lot of our feedback on the show had a voice, had a presence, because we saw things start changing around what we would say, which was really cool, or at least in my fever dream.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What led to getting released?
I think it was I think we were both unhappy. Oh. I feel like that's the best way to put it. So Hunter and I, when I got back from my Achilles injury, Hunter was the only person that really checked on me during that time. Hey, how are you doing? And I remember just having a mental breakdown on live TV about my Achilles, because I found out I might have to have another surgery that morning. Oh. And if I had that other surgery, I'd probably be done and I wouldn't be coming back. So it was just like, I unloaded just on live TV. And the first person to call me after that was Hunter. Hey, call me this time tomorrow. We need to talk. And so I kind of tell him everything that's going on. And he's like, hey, we're going to get you in this, 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 and this. And then Edge called. And like, that was a weird conversation because like, super fan. And he goes, hey, it's Adam. I was like, Braun, what are you doing calling my phone? And he's like, this is Edge.
There's a difference between this Adam
and
this
Edge, Adam. And I was like, oh, you know. And he's like, you know, I tore my Achilles. And in between the two of them, they kind of turned it all around for me as far as like, let's get you in this type of rehab. Let's do this. But I remember just thinking like, man, no one from main roster called, not even the medical staff there. But like, you know. It was like, man, these are the people that care about me, that care about my career, and this is who I want to work for, you know? And when I got back, I was like, I want to work for Hunter. I want to work at NXT. This is what I want because they care.
Yeah.
And it's like at that time when you were looking at what they were doing at NXT, which I had to because of backstage, and then seeing what they were doing on Raw and SmackDown, I didn't know if Ember Moon fit in on Raw and SmackDown anymore. But I did know she fit in at NXT because I saw Ruby there. I saw Kim, Mercedes, all of these peoples that I had went up and down the road with on the indies. They were all in one place. And I was like, this is where I need to be. This is where I think I need to be. And so I went there because of Hunter's vision for women's wrestling. Like, he's the reason why Give Divas a Chance got off the map, you know, started, in my opinion, because of what he did with Paige and Emma. You know, the Charlotte, Natty.
Right.
Like, the platform was there. Sasha, Bailey, however you want to put it, it all started with NXT, to me.
True.
Like, people are going to argue
that. No, it's true.
But, like, it all started there, and that's kind of where I was like, that's home for me. That's my happy place. You know, so we had talked and he brought me back there and I had so much fun. I got to win the tag titles with Shotzi and like I finally felt like things were picking up and I had a voice in my creative at the time, or at least like within the story that they presented to us. And it was like, all right, cool. Things are going up. And then Shotzi started doing main roster tryouts. I knew at that time I was supposed to be going back to main roster at some point in time, because I was only supposed to be down there for a year. So I was like, okay, they're going to pull me and Shotzi up together. And so I'm sitting at home and I get a call from the head writer and he goes, hey, I got some bad news. And I was like, what's going on? They go, they're taking Shotzi to SmackDown and you're staying with us. And I go, oh, okay, yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're going to have her tag with Tegan. And I go,
What? No, the fire pit. We just got merch, man. Yeah. We got like 4 shirts released. We're the fire pit, you know? And like, it was like, okay, yeah, I'm good. Okay, cool. They're like, don't worry. We're going to figure something out for you. It'll be fine. So I ended up talking to Hunter that next week. He goes, I'm so sorry. This is what happened. Someone got hurt. They are already supposed to be up there for a tryout or something. They just put them together as a team. He goes, nothing to do with you, not personal, just what we had to do to fill that void. I'm like, okay, cool. It's fine. Don't worry. We're going to get something for you. So he goes, you have any ideas? I go, turn me heel. He goes, what? I go, turn me heel. We can tell the story. You guys have taken everything away from me. I said, put me on NXT. Give me a losing streak. And I said, and then let me lose everything and lose my shit. You know? And he's like, all right, I like it. So we start that whole process of like losing. But it was so stop and go. It was like, okay. Because that was around the time that 2.0 started becoming a thing. So it would be like, lose here. Off TV for 3 weeks. Welcome back, Athena. Lose here. Off TV for a couple weeks. And so there was no continuation. But after I'd had that conversation with Hunter, I never saw Hunter again. Because that's when he got
sick.
Got sick. And so it was like, all right, we got a good thing going. And then that's why it was so stop and go. Start, stop. And I was like, and then I started seeing the backstage personnel change. And then it became Vince's team, the team that I had worked with on Raw and SmackDown, that like no ideas get past them. And it became, started being like how good people look outside of the ring and not based off of what they can do.
That's
what
all the colors that NXT 2.0.
Yeah. Right? And they were like, new faces, new this. And it was like, cool. It's like, well, I volunteered to go on this losing streak. Put me against all these. I have no problem working with them, you know? And it was just like, I feel like even though I pitched, like, take everything away from me and then rebuild me, it was actually happening. It was like, you took Hunter. You took my writers. Okay. You took my friends. Okay. And it was just me sitting there, and it was just like,
you can see the writing on the wall.
It wasn't even the writing on the wall. It was just, I was unhappy.
Gotcha.
It was like, you took everything that made NXT great for me personally, and it was all gone. And I remember going to Ross and buying like a bag and putting it in the locker room. Cause I was like, I'd walk in every day and I'd tell my makeup artist, I think today's the day I'm going to quit. And just for 2 months, it was just like this. And then finally, like, hey, we're pulling the trigger on this heel turn. I was like, oh, for word, let's go. I get excited. They're like, we need you to change your hair back to that fire colored hair. What we're going to do is we're going to turn you heel, but we're going to turn you heel as the old Ember Moon character. This is from Vince. And I go, perfect. Yes, those good things come to those who wait. And so they're like, get ideas about vignettes and this and this. So I go with Ryan Katz. We spend all day filming this vignette in one of the warehouses to present to them at TVs that night when the meeting is, so we can talk about the full turn. I'm walking around in 90 degrees Orlando with a beanie on, hope like with red dripping down my neck, and just like, I'm so excited, I'm so motivated. And I walk into them telling me, hey, because of this 2.0 thing, we're taking you off TV indefinitely. And I was like, what? After I just, like, I dye my hair myself. Like, it's a process, and just, I was like, what? And I literally go, what did I do wrong, man? Yeah. And he goes, you did nothing wrong. You've been perfect. And I go, so why do I feel like I'm always being punished? I said, I do everything that I'm asked. I go over and beyond. What did I do? And he's like, you did nothing wrong. And I just literally just sat there, and I go, you know what? I said, don't bring me back to Orlando until you have something for me, you know? And he's like, but you can coach. You can come up here and do one of these student coach class. I go, that's not why I'm here, man. I was like, I was only supposed to be here a year. It's past that point in time. You took Shotzi. You took everything away from me, man. You got to see what I'm seeing right now is that you guys don't care. So I'm not going to keep divulging that energy. I was like, man, you have me so freaking pumped to come in here and then say, hey, we have nothing for you. And then give me a consolidation prize of coaching a class. And it was like, I was like, man, I'm not at that point in my career. I love helping people. If I'm there working out and they want to come and we work on stuff, sure, I love that. But like, I'm not going to come in here
when there's nothing for me.
Right.
And so I go, I'm staying home. I said, I'm not coming back till you have a TV spot for me. And I remember I packed up everything I could that night in that big bag, left. And it was just like, I think I just quit. Yeah. Like after months of saying it, I was like, I think I just quit. Oh my gosh. I mean, like there were more things that were going on as well, but that was the gist of it. And then I remember that was in October. I got the call in November because I guess they finally got the hint I wasn't coming back. And they were like, budget cuts. And I was like, okay. Thank you, sir. Have a great day, you know. And that was the end of that.
And it was pretty shortly after that you came to AEW.
Oh, it was a while.
Was it a while?
Yeah, so October is when I left, got released in November. I didn't come to AEW till May.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and that was kind of we were watching AEW quite a bit, And I think just genuinely because I had so many friends here too, like Ricky, CME, we all used to roll down the Indies to Isla, and they'd be like, I'd run into, we're having fun here. And I'm like, and I'm sitting here with everything being taken away. I'm like, I know, I can tell. I can tell. Thumbtacks came out. I can tell you're having fun, and I'm sitting here just and the jealousy was building up. It was like, God. That looks like so much fun. Right. They got a bar fire match. They got Minoru Suzuki. And I'm sitting here God. Yeah, you want me to? Okay. Yeah. Hold on. And that became the cool thing is oh, guys, did you see AEW? Did you see? We can't really talk about it.
Right.
backstage, we're like, you see that one match? You see Sheeta kick the tar out of Nyla Rose? It was amazing. Mm. And you're sitting here and genuinely, I'm just happy for my friends that they're on platform, but I'm looking at how everything was running at AEW at that time. And I was just like, man, maybe that's the place for me. And so when I left WWE, that was the one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to try to figure out a way to get to AEW. And I remember when I walked out of that building, I remember just being like, how in the blue hell do I get a hold of Tony Khan? And so we had kind of, between my rap and everything, we had kind of been in talks in December of seeing if there was interest. And it was just kind of back and forth. Hey, are you interested? Okay. Hey, are you interested? And during my 90-day situation where I couldn't really
get to do anything, right?
Yeah, you can't do anything. You're sitting there and you're like, oh, I just kind of threw away the dream job. And it's just like, do I want to wrestle anymore? Do I want to do this? Right, right. And it was this constant, what am I going to do? What is going to happen? And then, all of these requests came in from the indies of, oh, we want you to come to our show. We want you to come to our show. And I was like, well, this is new. I remember having to run to everyone else to get a booking. To be hey, guys, I got Sunday, November 3rd open still if you want me. Throw it up on Twitter. But all these old promotions that I used to work for were like, hey, come work for us. Hey, come do this. Hey, come do that. Hey, come do this. And it was like, I don't know, man. you're sitting there I don't know if I want to wrestle anymore. And I remember this promoter at Warrior Wrestling goes, hey, whatever match you want, I'll pay your rate. You get to pick your opponent. Who do you want? And I was like, I don't know. Thunder Rosa. I was like, I threw out a name because I recently met her. She was awesome. I went down to Mission Pro and kind of worked out to see if I still wanted to wrestle a couple times. She got me some really good girls to roll around with. And that kind of, I had this, we went Broadway 30 minutes and it was so much fun. And I was so emotional after because it was like, I thought I was going to throw this all away again. And it kind of just got the bug going. And then that's when I was like, I told my rep, I was like, yeah, let's do it. If he wants me, let's do it, And it became Impact wanted me. And then there was interest in AEW, but we could never get a hold of Tony because Tony is so freaking busy all the time. Right. And then Impact be like, hey, girl. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Hold on, And it'd be like, and they'd be like, my friends would be like, girl, I hear you're coming here. I was like, we have not talked to them. They only said, hey, we'll talk to you next week. Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Or, and it became this weird, where do I go? What do I do? Because I have two companies that are showing interest. And it was just like, man, I think I just want to go to AEW. I think I do. It's like, I have friends at Impact, but I really think I want to do AEW because I've had my eye on it for so long. And fast forward to May, I literally think it happened so quick. like, Tony had called my rep and he's like, let's do it. And like within the next week I was on a plane to Las Vegas. And I was like, what is happening? And lo and behold, Athena's in AEW.
Are you enjoying being in AEW?
I do. It's different, in a good way. Like, I feel like I'm not going to talk about the other place when I say this, but like, it feels like everyone backstage genuinely wants this place to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's not people just trying to stay afloat. Everyone, like from the sound guys to the techies to cameramen, everyone just wants this place to succeed. And it's such a positive environment to be around where, like, I remember after Jody that happened and everyone was like, okay, what's next? Like, and I was like, that is the weirdest reaction I've ever had. Normally it's like, oh, well, we're going to have to sit you in catering, you know.
You mean with the match in Toronto?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. Because I've read some, and we were kind of running out of time too.
I'm sorry.
No, you're great. Because you had some interesting comments on working solid and how, you know, women shouldn't, I'm using air quotes, work that way.
Yeah.
And kind of tell me your thoughts on that.
So on the independent scene, I got coined, well, given the nickname, the American Joshi, because I hit hard. I work strong style, you know, and I've never been to Japan. Even to this day, I've never wrestled in Japan, and I want to so bad. But I never have worked that style on TV. And I don't think that anyone knew I could. I think everyone sees, like, so, like, even though I'm Athena, everyone sees that aerialist in Ember Moon.
Right.
And, like, Athena was, like, a ground and pound technician. Like, I didn't really high fly at all when I was on the indies. I could, like, when I felt like it. But, you know, for the most part, I work strong style. And I love working that style with holds and suplexes and stuff like that. And when Toronto happened, it's what every, I think, wrestler dreams of on, like, a weird level of, like, yes, I get to turn, even though I'm still going to be a babyface when I go back to the States. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they put me against Jody Threat. She's a hometown hero there. She's done all these death matches. She loves that hard-hitting style, and I'm very familiar with her work. So we go, and we have this match, and I remember they were like, this might happen. I was like, it won't happen. And then it did, and it was like, okay, well, cool. I'm going to be the aggressor in this point. And, like, the crowd was so behind her, no matter what I did. They were like, boo. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And, like, I remember getting to the back end. I was fine. She was fine. And everyone was like.
Because it was a hard-hitting, you know, some would say stiff match.
Yeah. You know, yeah, right? Stiff match. And, like, she was fine. I was fine. And we're like, hell yeah, all right. And we got to the back, and everyone was like.
Because they thought you took liberties on her, right?
Yeah, they thought I took liberties. And, like, which is weird because I've never.
Not in this case.
Not in this case, but, like, I've never done that, and that's never been my intention. And if I did, they wouldn't get up.
Right.
So, like, it was just weird because, like, I was like, what? Like, yeah, it was solid, but, like, nothing was unsafe, and I wasn't taking liberties. It was just, hey, we need to get back on the same page.
Right.
And it was so weird because people were like, hey, you guys good? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. What's up? And then, like, I go to catering and it's like crickets just. And, you know, they came. They talked to both of us separately. They were like, all right, I guess everything's fine. And then, like, I remember someone going, what's next? That was awesome. And I go, huh, what is next? Okay. And I remember the next day because we had 2 days in Toronto. They were like, man, like. Hey, you know what happens? I should just throw girls out to the floor. That's what I'll do from now on. I go, don't steal my gimmick. And they were like, maybe that should be your gimmick. And I was like, okay, cool. They were like, and then someone was like, hey, maybe you should do this. And it became this weird, like, okay, there's something to this. And so I did like a formal pitch and it got, yeah, let's do it. And like,
with a pitch of being.
Just being the aggressor, like working tough. And I was like, look, I was like, if you guys thought that I was frustrated, like, let's build on that. Let's keep doing this. And I had wrestled Alexi and Nicole the next night, which I've known her for years, and kind of did the same thing. And then, like, we went to the next town and kind of did a little bit more and a little bit more. And then it became, all right, a snap after the match now, just F you. And it was really cool because, like, there were so many people that had ideas. Like, Christopher Daniels has been awesome. Sanjay has been awesome. Like, just with piling on, Daivari has been awesome, just piling on these ideas on how to make this grow and make this be better. Whereas, like, I feel like I wouldn't have had that there. It would have been like, okay, that's one and done. All right, let's go back to the next thing. Just because we're in Canada doesn't mean you turn. Okay.
Right.
You know? And it was just like, there was so much like growth and trust in it. And it's turned into what it is now, to be honest with you. And it's like, I'm finally getting back to what I was on the indies, which I'm more comfortable with that because I was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. I was a bad guy for 10 years on the indies. And then I was a baby face, which is weird because I don't like being the good guy. That's not fun for me, you know?
Well, yeah. And it's like, you know, once again, it's like, you know, she and I beat the shit out of each other, or, you know, Danielson and Moxley or whatever. Like, that's kind of a style that we do here in AEW.
Yeah.
We have kind of a mix of many different styles, and one of them is just literally Japanese strong style.
Yeah, and I think, like, I took a lot of offense to it. Like, I've seen dudes, even in WWE, on the indies, whatever, they'll chop each other into chopped, ground beef on their chest and stuff. And then I hit this one girl solid with no marks on her, but yet, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, clutch your pearls. We're coming. We're coming. Oh, no. You know, and so it was just like, you know, I'm just going to piss you off now. Like, because that's what we do. We tell stories. And if that makes you upset, fine, come watch me do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not going to have any regrets, you know. It's weird, but like at the same time, I'm like, yes, finally. Moo-hoo-ha.
Nice, right.
You just sometimes you have to embrace it versus like trying to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Because like, honestly, if I would have defended myself on any level, people are going to believe what they want to believe, right? People are going to say what they want to say. Me saying my opinion, my two cents on the matter, even when stuff hit dirt sheets or whatever like that, like people still had their opinion, but they did watch that next show.
Mm-hmm.
They did see what was going to happen next.
Creates a buzz.
So it's about growing and making something memorable. Because honestly, like I really do thank Jody Threat for making Athena Athena again.
Mm-hmm.
And like, maybe one day we'll get back to it. But, like, you know, without her, this wouldn't have happened. And, like, it's just, like, the whole discourse thing, which is such a professional word for bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just crazy because I just want to show people what I can do. And, like, we go out there, we entertain. It doesn't matter how hard we hit each other. Hell, I hit my friends harder than I hit Jody Threat.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I can take it as well as I put it out there. So, like, it to me, sometimes it's a little irritating because you have the fans that want to be more than fans, that think that they know every little intricate detail of what we do. And it's like, cool, if you want to know, hop in a ring. I'll show you.
Yeah.
Come on through.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So.
Last two questions for you quickly. Talk about the wings. Did you make those?
No, I wish I did.
They're so cool. I just love these butterfly, dragonfly wings that come up behind you. It's cool.
So when I was thinking goddess, I was like, what do gods have? And it's like, wings. Okay, cool. Well, I don't want just like angelic wings because I'm the fallen goddess. And I really kind of got into like cyberpunk Mad Max stuff. And it was just kind of like, man, what can I do that's different? And like, honestly, midnight searches on Etsy are the worst thing for me now. But that's literally how they came about. I found a vendor. He custom made me a set. Like, I sent him everything that I wanted. And then I have made the jacket and the vest that goes with it. And I accidentally threw them too hard one night and broke them. So I had Jade destroy the first set.
Oh, that's why.
But I had, because I couldn't crank them open anymore.
Right,
and I was
right,
let's get a sledgehammer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know, we have this angle going on. Let's do it, you know. And then but I'd already had my eye on the second pair, you know, that open and shut. And I just wanted these cool, like, wicked wings, which I just retired. I know you're going to hate that.
They're done.
They're retired for now. I want to do something different.
I'm the light up jacket guy. There comes a time when you got to move on to the next thing.
Well, I'm going to be the light up jacket girl now.
All right.
LED strips are my favorite things. I'm actually working on
one. Oh, they're
now.
Impossible. Trust me, I had an LED strip jacket. That thing worked maybe once out of 10. Hopefully the technology is advanced
well,
the last
so
five
the first,
years.
The first couple I made were absolutely dreadful.
Yeah.
Like, you get one use, that is
done.
It. You throw it the wrong way, it bends the wrong way, it's done.
So fragile.
Yeah. So I kind of figured out how I have to do it now, but I've made 7 of them
nice.
That light up. I've only worn one on TV.
Well, when you have one that you're going to wear, I would like to see it because I like to compare it to the one I have.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because my first ones were all wired. And then I tried a digital LED one, and man, like I said, it was quite the hassle for me.
But. So the one I did for Ring of Honor, I actually put LED screens all
oh,
over.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
I actually have it here. I can show you later. But okay. Yeah, that was like, I wanted to do a play on a movie, but then just be a troll at the same time. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I think like now my thing is going to be LED boards on my jackets.
That's cool.
Because I can program and say what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You can put little letters in there to say what you want.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Maybe I'll just troll my opponents and be like, ah, here's 5 seconds of fame. Like, bam, boom. Throw your name up there.
Last question for you. What's your favorite match you ever had?
Favorite match I've ever had? That's not fair.
Or a few of them.
My favorite match so far has been me versus Asuka at Brooklyn 2. And it's because I walked out to the crowd booing me when I was supposed to be the good guy. And I just remember being so confident in what we had planned. And you can go back and watch it too. There's a moment where I just look at the crowd and like I give a smirk and I'm like, I'm going to change your mind. And just anytime I got to wrestle with Alexa Bliss, Alexa Bliss is one of my favorite people in the world. That we troll each other in matches. It's the worst. Like I called Thriller and she started doing Thriller in the match at one point in time, the hokey pokey. And then I just make dumb faces to try and make her crack on TV. And then Shotzi winning the tag titles. That one meant a lot to me on a weird level because I had won titles before in WWE and she didn't know. And so when they told her, she's like, my dad's gonna be in the crowd. And I remember that being a big thing for me when I won the title.
Sure.
That my dad had And so like just to like see how happy she was, and she's such a free spirit, it's crazy. But just seeing how excited she was, and her dad passed shortly after that. So it was just like it was like a really cool moment to just have with her and just be like, I get to see me do this all over again. And I got my best friend here, man. She's best. So, yeah, favorite moments.
Well, plenty more great moments to come here in AEW. It's awesome to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.